Daniel is declared by the Bible to be a man of outstanding righteousness. Ezekiel 14:14 links him with Noah and Job. In Matthew 24:15, Jesus declares him to be a prophet. His political supremacy is a record of history. And our Lord puts his seal on the divine authenticity of Daniel's prophecy. Daniel was among the Jewish captives. He'd been taken by the Babylonian government, and he places a date upon his vision. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now Daniel refers to 2 Chronicles 36:21-23 and Jeremiah 25:11. Daniel believed that God spoke and no man can alter. Israel's apostasy, her willful sin, had brought about the 70 years. God let her land lie desolate. And now the 70 years were coming to an end. So Daniel knew that something else would soon happen. And he desires to know, what will he do with the holy city and with the people of Israel? What is the Jewish destiny? One theologian paraphrases the confrontation this way. Daniel, you've been thinking that the final restoration will be accomplished, and the full covenant blessings will be realized at the close of these 70 years in Babylon. On this point, you are mistaken. You are not now on the eve of the fulfillment of this wonderful prediction. Instead of it being brought to pass at this time, I am sent to inform you that there is decreed upon your people and upon the holy city a period of 77s of years before they can be realized. At the end of this period, the nation of Israel will be reconciled and reinstated in the divine favor and will enter into the enjoyment of all covenant blessings, and then will the end come. That message was delivered by Gabriel. It was so important that it demanded a divine messenger. He brought another message to Mary 5 centuries later. Daniel is the only one who mentions the word Messiah. Jesus called himself the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. God, speaking through Daniel by way of Gabriel, is pointing to the consummation. God grants this great statesman an interview. He is given a telescopic briefing. He's permitted to zero in to the middle of the final week, or period of 7 years. He understands that his people, Israel, are looking for a Messiah, the great deliverer. What does it all mean to this talented statesman? He is told that first the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Could this seeker in the palaces of Persia fully realize what was to take place? John the Baptist announced the kingdom of heaven at hand. Jesus preached it to Israel. What happened? John was beheaded. Jesus was executed. Those were the words Daniel heard. Shall Messiah be cut off? He must have wondered. Jesus stood in Israel and said that Daniel had heard correctly. Christ's confirmation of Daniel's message is a highlight of prophecy. Christ's discourse on the Mount of Olives fixes the time of Israel's final agony. It is to be within the 70th week of Daniel. The greater part of the book of Revelation is simply an expansion of Daniel's prophecy within the chronological framework, divided into two equal parts of 42 months. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus answers three questions. First, when shall these things be? That is, the destruction of Jerusalem, the same question confronting Daniel the prophet. Second, the sign of thy coming, not signs, but signs, and of the end of the age. Christ gives us the chronological peg on which we can hang the prophecy of the 70th week of Daniel. Here it is in Matthew 24:15-16. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Jesus signifies something totally beyond 70 A.D., for Jesus links his return with this schedule. The big seven is nearing, mister. Daniel's 70th week. It is divided evenly. The first 1,260 days, or 42 months, are described in Revelation 11:2. This will be followed by the 3.5 years, known in the Hebrew as time, times, and half a time. And something vital to Israel happens in the middle. Daniel was further briefed. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that is, 446 B.C., 20th year of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah 2:1, unto the Anointed One, the Prince, Jesus, shall be 7 weeks, 7 7, and 62 weeks, or 69 7s. The city shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublesome times. Read Nehemiah. Later Daniel is told, and he, the second prince, shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate or desolator. See Daniel 9:27. 69 weeks has accurately been fulfilled, lady. It is a testimony to the Bible. The schedule given to Daniel predicted the very day and year of the rebuilding of the wall, the troublesome times, the time of the Messiah's entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Revelation 11:2-3 is an important target in understanding Daniel's 70th week. Two witnesses preach unmolested 1,260 days, and then there is a change. The Gentiles trample the city, that is Jerusalem, for 42 months. In the exact middle of the week, the two witnesses are killed. And then you have the sounding of the seventh angel and the overthrow of the kingdoms of this world. Mister, the schedule is fixed. Remember, this prophecy, the 70 weeks, concerns Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It tells of the two princes to appear on earth, Messiah and Antichrist. It tells of three periods of time, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 1 week also known as the 70th week. This prophecy establishes a fixed beginning. It foretells that the end of the 69 weeks will be marked by the appearance of the Messiah as Prince of Israel. It tells of an after period and an interim. It records the events of the 70th weeks as being marked by a treaty with the Jews, the breaking of that treaty, the desolation lasting until the end, and it promises a subsequent time of unparalleled blessing for the nation of Israel. There are four of these cycles, 490 years, an Israelitish cycle in the Old Testament. There were 490 years from Abraham to the Exodus. Another cycle lasted from the Exodus to Solomon's temple. The third was from the building of Solomon's temple to the return of the Jewish exiles from Babylonian captivity. And the fourth is the cycle we have discussed in this message. We're speeding to the close of the great parenthesis, that is, the church period in history. And this is the important line. Action is turning toward Israel. The preachers of Israel were concerned about the destiny of the Jews. So notice again the detail given to Daniel. The 69th week ended with a definite historical event, the appearance of the Messiah. After the 69th week, we have two events. the death of the Messiah, and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., both are placed between the 69th and 70th weeks. And Jesus said to watch Israel, and now it's front page every day. So, sir, you can know how much time is left. Listen to your soul. Now they who wait, who serve upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. I believe it. I intend to gain strength in these next moments as I come with you to the long, long altar. Mrs. Frances DePillo found the long, long altar reaching her at Whittier, California. She was crippled, bent by arthritis, but she knelt with us the best she could. And suddenly the life of Jesus was in her body. She says, it's real. Oh, Brother Ward, it's so real. Tom Remmer found the long, long altar reaching toward him in our 49th state. They're at North Pole, Alaska. He says, I'm so grateful to Station KJMP for bringing your ministries into our home. I'm usually far from any church building. The scene of glory to feel it all in this cabin. And God is so present as you lead us in these moments with our Lord. Mrs. S.N. Leitner kneels with us there at Columbus, Ohio. She says, our son's home and marriage have been wonderfully resurrected. Brother Ward, God does do miracles at the long, long altar. So let's believe and praise him. Jesus, thou art our leader. And again, we confess before men that thou art the only begotten Son of God, Savior, Messiah. We join in thanking thee for so many mercies. We thank our Heavenly Father that he so loved mankind, that he gave Calvary's victory as equal to human need. Now I pray for the release of political prisoners and prisoners of conscience. I pray for stewardesses and stewards who serve the public on our airlines. Protect them at all times. I pray for newspaper boys and newspaper girls who brave all kinds of weather to deliver papers to us. Bless them. Let them know they are appreciated. And please use us in thy service and to thy glory. And help us to be doers and not hearers only. I ask because we love thee, Jesus. Amen. There are sweeter moments anywhere than when you pray. And you know the Holy Spirit is praying through you. Jesus is foremost. He will write his signature on this meeting. Our gathering belongs to him. Direct your spiritual alert with me and become conscious with me of our Lord's intent among us. He's now moving to magnify himself in the ministry of healing. There's one purpose in all divine healing, to underscore the authority of Jesus of Nazareth to forgive sins. Jesus sees in this audience a junior teenage girl with an impediment of hearing. She does not want to be burdened at her age with hearing aids. She'd like to enjoy the freedom of her friends. She's going to have a wonderful thing happen now. Jesus the healer has seen this girl's desire and loves this girl, and he's moving toward her in this service to give her perfect hearing. Oh, I praise his name for this gift of healing. Please live for Jesus. I'm his evangelist servant. Now you've been gathered to the meeting by the Spirit of God. This is never a program. This is designed always as a small foretaste of the meeting in the air. Yes, sir. Graves will be open. God's word says so. And moreover, God opened the grave next to Calvary where they laid his son. Biggest thing on earth today is to be ready, and you can be if you will ask the Holy Spirit to direct your life. Then you will know for yourself that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.